The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good old 710 KNUS. Thanks for being here. 82 will be the high today. And then tomorrow, 70. Saturday, let's see what happens. But boy, Mother's Day, 56. And it looks like we got afternoon rain, 39 the low. And back to work Monday. It still says in the 40s. Coming up in studio, Chuck Bonawal and Randy Corpin about the Republican Party, the return of Professor John Eastman. Before we go to Father Andre, those of you, and I've been just drawn into this Jeffrey Epstein investigation. What turns up yesterday, the relationship between Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein and Gates's wife, and Gates would go off with other women. And it's just crazy stuff. And again, you know, who is immune? Without further ado, one of the all time. I'm always so happy that because of John Medved, this man, I was able to come into his life, or he came into mine some 10 years ago. Father Andre joins us, and it is just remarkable. Father, and now, of course, his radio shows every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. here on 710 KNUS, and it's getting a lot of attention. Good morning, sir, and welcome home. Welcome back, I should say. Welcome home Friday morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Peter. How are you doing
today?
You
know, I'm good. It's looking forward to the weekend, and the weather's going to be great. And then we have Mother's Day. Actually, I've traveled with Father in the Middle East, and I met your mom and dad in Lebanon, and it's just, I mean, it was one of the most remarkable experiences. We had dinner, and everybody was there, and your mom and dad. And your dad, when you were a little boy, and I hope I'm not giving up stories, but your dad, you had to learn Quran, and you had to learn biblical thinking or biblical quoting, because you had to travel back and forth between the Falange and the Islamic, and let's see, who was there? The PLO's there. The Syrians are there. The Americans.
I was there, Murabutun, the leftists. Oh my God, everybody was there. How did you think about this story this morning? That's funny.
Well, because I'm thinking about my own mom, and then I thought Andre's mom, and then the stories about how your dad would have to. There was a, and I've just now just read so much about it, but it wasn't it called the Green Line, Father?
It was actually Khutut al-Tamas, basically the red line, uh-huh. Where between East Beirut, yeah, and West Beirut you couldn't cross. And, you know, my dad was one of the few employees in the Lebanese government who eventually had to go to the Central Bank of Lebanon, pick up the salaries of all the government employees who are living on the Christian side of Beirut. So he would risk his life for 250 Lebanese lira. This is equal almost like for $2.50 today, believe it or not.
I believe
$2.50. He would risk all his life, and he would take me with him. Sometimes he would take my brother Fadi as well. And many times when a famine, you know, struck Lebanon, as it is striking today in a horrible way, for similar reasons, unfortunately, going, we would see people actually lined up on the side of the road, and they never made it back home. And I would ask Dad, and I knew immediately that they were being killed, they were being shot, they were being slaughtered right then at the checkpoints, and they were being thrown under the bridges. It was a horrible scene, honestly. So my dad, to make us safe, he would teach us always good tolerance, good respect to other religious groups, because he knew that there is some type of a persecution going on and there is religious intolerance going on. And going to West Beirut, he would give us this little bag, and he would make us play at that red light, that red line between East Beirut and West Beirut by the seaport. You know where that huge explosion,
sure,
happened on,
sure,
August 4th?
Sure.
Because this is where the grains are stored in Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And my dad would hold in his hand a little stones, and he would say, listen, I'm going to play with you again. I'm going to throw a stone, and you're going to hear a sound of pop, and then you're going to cross to the other side of the street very quickly with your back. And, you know, he would make us basically go through the sniper's lines, because those lines were governed by snipers from the top of the buildings, and you couldn't cross between East and West Beirut.
Who were the snipers for? Was it PLO? Was it?
Yeah, the snipers were mostly PLO and Murabitun, Mujahidun, you name it. It was really horrible. And there were snipers coming back to East Beirut. But, you know, the snipers were basically to keep everybody isolated and somehow. So we would play with the snipers, and then we would go fill up the grains of wheat and then bring them back to East Beirut and then feed the people. And then my mom would wait for us the whole day, about 20 of the families. Many of them you met, actually. Many of my friends who stayed with us in a cave you also met, if you remember.
We did. That was amazing. It was
like, fun. You remember that story.
No, you know, the other one I remember is there was a young woman. She was African, and your parents had taken her in. I think she was Christian. She was escaping someplace. And she was...
She was from Ethiopia.
Yeah, she was Ethiopian, and I think she was... Was she Orthodox, or what was her faith?
She was Christian Orthodox. Yeah. She ran away from Ethiopia. Yeah. You know, like many people don't believe it, that there is about probably 80 or 60 million, I believe, there is really about 60 million Ethiopian Christians. You know, more than half of the country is actually Christians in Ethiopia, but definitely, you know, no economic opportunities, no equality in the government. Yeah. You know, Washington, D.C. is predominantly Ethiopian Christians. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Many of the Ethiopians had to run away, had to leave Ethiopia. Talking about this, you know, religious persecution in Africa seems to be back on the rise, Peter. The National Day of Prayer in Washington, D.C., for the very first time in 70 years, for the very first time, was not held.
Let me reset. Father Andres here, Saturday morning, does the radio show. Sunday morning at 6 a.m., he does a radio show. I'm already in the weekend off. And he is one of the brightest, I mean, most amazing men. We have these great lunches and long-time dinners. We just sit and talk like this. But, you know, it was interesting. I read a critique, and, of course, you know my feelings about this. But Joe Biden had the National Day of Prayer and never mentioned God. Did you guys see that? Never mentioned, you know, you would think, I don't, maybe not mentioning Jesus because of its the Christian aspect. But he had National Day of Prayer, which was yesterday, and they never mentioned God, and he said some just gobbledygook. And no, I'm serious. I read this last night. I'm going, how could, you know, the National Day of Prayer? And remember when Obama had a National Day of Prayer, and that's when he told the Christians to come down off of their high horse, and he brought up the he brought up the Crusade, which is, you know, the 11th century. And because of Andre, I've seen all these places. But I want to come back to this with the Ethiopian. She might have been Eritrean or something. I mean, I remember talking to her in your mom and dad's house. And we were having, actually, we had, and they were hiding her. She was hiding because of persecution. And that's when I got onto your dad, about your dad had led a pretty dangerous life during the invasion. And you were a little boy. I remember you and your older brother telling me about, you learned to say things about, positive things about Islam going one way, and then talked about Christianity coming back the other way. Do I remember that correctly, Father?
You do. And you know, my dad meant it. And even though a few months later, my dad got kidnapped by Hezbollah, and he was killed, actually. He ran away from West Beirut the morning that they wanted to kill him. But my dad always believed that religious tolerance is the main factor in order to bridge people to coexistence, to pluralism, to unity in somehow, and definitely to stop violence, and definitely to stop violence. He knew religion was being coerced. He knew religion was being used in somehow. But so he would teach us really all the verses from the Quran. He would make us follow and sit down. Like today we celebrate the Eid, for instance. You know, today is Ramadan for Muslim religions. I believe it's coming very soon, the celebration, within a few days. It's unbelievable wisdom from the old Lebanese man of the mountains. I'm talking about my dad, namely, who knew from the very beginning. He said, anytime you hear somebody talking bad about religion of someone else, leave the discussion. Don't entertain the conversation. because he knew this is how they actually harvested fanaticism. And he knew fanaticism would create religious intolerance and would drive into major persecutions. And, you know, he was talking, and you know what my dad used to do, Peter? I think he told you that. He used to be the one who would go behind the enemy's lines to bring back people who were kidnapped. He would work on saving people from one area to bring them back to their families after they had been kidnapped by religious fanatic groups. And the only reason he succeeded doing this is because they believed he had real respect for the other religion.
No, it was, I meet these people, and Lebanon is the crossroads maybe for religion. It's the crossroads for many places, and it's one of the most intriguing. I don't know about going now. Maybe things are quite different, but it was pretty iffy then. But I remember meeting all those guys, Father, and I said, well, how'd you guys get out of here? And I said, well, we took a boat. We went to Cyprus. They couldn't go to the airport because they were Christian. And that was being who did the Falange hold the air? Who held the airport during all of that? Was the
No, the airport was held by the Syrian, by the PLO, by Hezbollah. But always West Beirut was held by what we call the other side at the time, but non-Christian, definitely pro-Iranian regime till today. They still hold West Beirut and the airport. PLO had a lot to do with all of this. You know, they killed my uncle, right?
Yeah,
my mom's brother,
Bender.
She told you the story.
Yeah, she did.
We were in Tripoli when I was born, and it was 1975, 1976. And they held us hostages against the wall of the house. I was just like 1 or few years old. And then they had a machine gun in my hair, on my head. My dad was not at home. They wanted the money. My dad would not let them get some whatever they needed from the seaport of Tripoli, which is the second largest seaport in Lebanon. And all of a sudden, my uncle, my mom's brother, comes and leading a small operation with the Christian Falanges. He saves us from Tripoli, and unfortunately, on his way back to North Lebanon, you know what they did to him. They got a hold of him, and they literally cut him in pieces, unfortunately. And my mom never recovered from that. That was her only brother. Very hurtful, very hurtful. That's probably one of the worst memories I have, that because of me being born, and I did not know who my uncle was. I've never seen him, actually. That's one of the reasons we have, honestly, probably the mission of hope and mercy, you know, this apostolate of Our Lady of Hope, of which you, John Medved, and Jack Zamora, Katie Monahan, Susan Childress, and all these beautiful and big people are aware that we have to somehow stop or prevent religious persecution, and we have to promote freedom, religious freedom, conversation, peace, coexistence, and healing, conflict resolution amongst the groups. And definitely the solution is not to cancel culture or cancel God out of the United States or cancel God from the National Day of Prayer or even cancel God from the Vatican, as a matter of fact. You know, that's not the solution. The solution is to truthfully believe in true God and pray that that Chinese rocket who's floating somewhere in the sky does not become like a spear of fire and falling somewhere on the head of the people, and then something will happen after that that is horrible for any people. I'm worried about that, really, Peter, what's happening in a space these a few days. I know, you know, there's a Chinese rocket floating around, and we do not know where it might land, on whose head. Those are real problems for humanity. God is the real solution, the only solution for humanity.
Our guest, the one and only Father Andre Mahana, 710 KNUS, 6 a.m. on Sunday mornings. I remember when I wanted to go to Tripoli, and everybody said, no, if you go to Tripoli, you will not come back from Tripoli. But it's so divided, and, you know, I get stuck on stuff like this. And I like what your father said. If anybody starts talking about somebody else's religion, leave the room. And so now what? Lebanon has always been, not always, but has been one of the linchpins in whether or not there's going to ever be any form of peace. We've talked about this many, many times. There are parts of the world where historians say there is no tomorrow. It is just yesterday repeating itself. And the Middle East always seems to come up. And what's the future now? I mean, I want American soldiers, I want everybody the hell out of Afghanistan, but what happens after that? What happens in Iraq after the Bushes did what they did? And what happens now in Iran now that, you know, now that Joe Biden's president? It's repetitive. It repeats itself again, Father, does it not?
It does repeat itself, but the objective is always clearer. It has become clearer. It's always, you know, funny enough, when we met in 2015 and we were praying one time, you, George, out in Metropolis, and me, and I did tell you guys, I'm inspired by Our Lady to say that this whole war will be more and more clearer between money and God, between money and God. And that's what's happening in Iraq and Syria and Lebanon, that part of the world sits on some type of a resource, yeah, whether it's the gas or whether it's the oil. Definitely the shape, the form from outside, the external facade, seems to be anthropological and religious and ethnic, and it's a horrible war. But on the inside, I think it's an investment that goes, they're taking money and they are enslaving people. There is no more freedom in Iraq, Peter. Iraq has 5 million orphans. Iraq has 2.5 million widows. Iraq had 2.5 million Christians. Today it has about 230,000 Christians left in Iraq. Syria, you had about 4 million Christians. I doubted you have about 500,000 Christians in Syria. Lebanon has probably less than 850,000 Christian families. 750,000 families are in a huge famine. The mission of Hope and Mercy tries to feed them. So, yes, anthropologically, looking at the outside, it's the same history itself. But deep down, I think it's more that conquest for money, for power, for hunger of authority and to govern these areas. I tell you, I see a risk of nuclear, and I said it last time, and I repeat it. I see a risk of major nations coming to the Middle East. You cannot ignore the role of China in Africa now, or in the Middle East, or in Syria, or in Iran. You cannot ignore the role of Russia inside Syria or around Lebanon. Major forces are coming together. This morning, I think there are some 30 generals, French generals, are raising something against their own president, you know, against Macron. Yeah. Are we heading really towards whatever was happening in the Middle East? I think it's going to become the story of all the nations in the world.
French,
so we may as well learn how to live peace.
Yeah, the French have always plotted. The military in France has always plotted coups. That's the jackal. They're trying to kill Charles de Gaulle and, you know, overthrow, and it's always the colonel's plots in the French military. And I saw that again, too. I said, well, wait a minute, there's a repeat. You know, and these guys,
That's funny.
Very much so. And they never become generals. They keep them all as colonels. And then you know, what happened with the Foreign Legion in Algeria, you know, that was perhaps they were part of the plot to kill de Gaulle. What happened in Southeast Asia? It's just this repeat. And I don't know, as I get older, and maybe this is an old guy thing, I'm not sure, and I see the wheel in the sky just keeps turning, as the man said, and the story stays the same, and it stays the same, and it stays the same, and nobody seems to want to learn. And travel and reading are the keys. I'm currently, in all these books I'm reading a book entitled The History of the First Century. And they really focus principally on Rome and China, because they're the two major parts of, and Rome meaning the Middle East, but in China, where there is a culture, there is a government, there is the emperors are in place, and then
the emperors,
and then the Middle East history is unbelievably repetitive, and it's, you know, the rise of this, the rise of that, the fall of that, the rise of this, the fall of that. And I think to myself, Saddam, who I was with you and we were in camps and met people that were Iraqis and they were Christians, and they told us, Saddam left me alone. Saddam never did anything to me. You know, and now, I don't know, and the same story is being told by some person in Mesopotamia in the first century. And what's Mesopotamia? It's modern-day Iraq.
modern-day Iraq. And now I'm receiving very private information and requirements for help from Iraq, actually, from Baghdad. What we did not know, Pete, that in 2003 to 2012, many Christian prominent families inside Baghdad had to change their religion in order to save their property. So many Christians and individuals became Muslims. And all the Christian widows who remained in certain areas, they married into non-Christians, and automatically their children were registered as non-Christians. And now they cannot come back to Christianity because they want to come back. You know, that's religious freedom, right? They want to come back to Christianity. Guess what? They cannot return to Christianity. It is called Al-Radda. The return, basically. And if you return from Muslims to Christians, if you go back to Christianity, they will kill you.
It's your life.
They will kill you.
So, Sunday morning.
And that's the suffering now.
Sunday morning, this man's show. It's Father Andre Mahana. And again, to John Medved, thank you. And we mentioned Katie Monahan and all the great people, you know, that have been Jack now and everybody. What's Sunday morning? What's your honor on Sunday morning? What are you going to do?
Well, it's Mother's Day week, and I want to wish beautiful and happy and holy Mother's Day to all mothers, and may God rest the souls of the mothers in heaven. So we have with us Jennifer Nolan. She's a PhD president and co-founder of the Catholic Polytechnic University. She's a cognitive scientist and a professor in California. And she's a founder, actually, of the Polytechnic University. We're talking about science, technology, math, and engineering. So basically the STEM, bringing them back to faith and religion. How can we today, as a Christian, govern the world of university by bringing these sciences and technology, translating to them the will of God and the word of God, and putting them back in the original sense of what university meant to be, to create the people who are well-rounded, well-learned, not people who become indoctrinated in specific things and then become ignorant and then become and somehow. So we oppose learning today versus learning in the original universities and the hope of creating a new university in California that teaches the people faith and reason can come together, basically. Not to be in contrast. I think this is the challenge of the Sunday show with Jennifer Nolan, Peter.
Sunday morning at 6. You have no idea what an amazing guy this is. Father Andre Mahana, I love you. I'll talk to you over the weekend. Father, thank you.
Me too. God bless you.
You too,
Peter.
Sir. Thank you. 303-696-1971. Yeah, wasn't it interesting in Joe Biden, a day of prayer, and they don't mention God? You know, I'm not a believer, but the point of it is, it's the day of prayer. You're the president. And they don't know. We have a lot to talk about. Chuck Bonawell and Randy are here in about 40 minutes, and then John Eastman returns. And wasn't that interesting to see Bill Gates' name turn up with Jeffrey Epstein? I'm end of the second book of Jeffrey Epstein. I am now about 3/4 of the way convinced that Jeffrey Epstein was murdered, or as was said, an assisted suicide. And they have to keep this Ghislaine woman alive. And then the fallout from all of this. But Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein, I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked at anything anymore. All right, your turn. 303-696-1971.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. More than just headlines. This is Peter Boyles. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Made it to a Friday morning, everyone. Mother's Day weekend, May 7th, 2021. 29 after the hour. 82 will be the high. And then 70 tomorrow and 56 on Mother's Day. Back to work Monday. It's got about 48 degrees. The rain continues. 303-696-1971. Those of you who are following the Jeffrey Epstein story, now the Bill Gates divorce, and apparently it's not a friendly divorce. He turns up connected to Jeffrey Epstein. Of course. I mean, when I read that last night, I went, of course. Jeffrey Epstein's abilities and what Jeffrey Epstein is all about or was all about is, at this point, I don't know if you can determine it, who he was. Who did he work for? Did he work for CIA? Did he work for Mossad? Did he work for arms dealers, that guy Khashoggi? Did he deal with the bankers, the BCCI? Who was he involved with? How did he fix the Justice Department? This guy is, there's a reason to kill him. And his brother's name is Mark, and I don't know if we could ever get an interview with him, but his brother hires that Michael Baden, the forensics pathologist, and he goes, no, he said, and he shows jawbone stuff. And I don't know why I get so drawn into it, because I think he's one of these people that I talk about that these people aren't Marxist. I mean, there's nothing Marxist about Jeffrey Epstein. There's nothing Marxist about Bill Gates. There's nothing Marxist about Zuckerberg. Why do they exist? And when people talk about this power structure or the deep state, or as Wright Mills called it, the power elite, and I'm looking at Epstein, and I'm thinking, here's one that's come to the surface with a harpoon in him. And God is, first of all, he's an unbelievably sick, twisted person. But you see Dershowitz and all these people around him. Dershowitz has turned out to just be a hog, but now Bill Gates. And honestly, are you shocked to see Bill Gates' name connected to Jeffrey Epstein? And, you know, Bill Gates was able to present this Mr. Clean guy, wasn't he? He was able to, this little geeky guy that dropped out of Harvard and made gazillions of dollars and married the other geeky lady. And now it turns out none of that's on the up and up. But yesterday it turns out Melinda, the lovely Melinda Gates, she rents an island. Did you guys see that she pays like some staggering amount of money to be the only, she and her children, to be the only people on the island till this thing blows over? Well, it might not blow over for a while. And the island's like $130,000 a day or something. No, it's staggering. And she's taking the little Gateses, and they're all, you know, on the island because they don't want anybody, they don't want the children. I mean, this is the stuff that just is, well, they don't want the children to hear anything. What is it? What are you going to hear? That your old man was messing around with Jeffrey Epstein? And you see the names of these people that have been 27 times Bill Clinton flies on Jeffrey Epstein's airplane. And one of the airplanes is called the Lolita Express when they're going down to the Little St. James. And on six of those trips, Bill Clinton ditched his Secret Service. The Secret Service did not or was not allowed to go with him when he went with Jeffrey Epstein. What does that say to you? Seriously. I mean, when we talk about these people aren't Leninists. You know, these aren't Bolsheviks. Who are they? Epstein is, well, all right, they're 303-696-1971. Who do you think Bill Gates is? Bill Gates is hardly a Marxist. He's not. His old lady's not a Marxist. It is just amazing. Art truly is an art to putting together the perfect kitchen or bathroom remodel. You want the best countertops and wholesale pricing. Contact Mitch Florid in Art of Granite. Mitch is our guy. Expert craftsman can turn granite, quartz, marble, other materials into true works of art right in your home. Schedule a virtual consultation with Mitch by calling 303-386-5919. Visit his website, theartofgranite.com. Start dreaming about your new countertops. Mitch provides the granite from his own warehouse in Golden at wholesale prices. There's no markup. You can get the most for your budgets. Mention 710KNUS. And get a bathroom countertop free with the purchase of a new kitchen countertop, or a kitchen or bathroom sink free with the purchase of any countertop package. Give Mitch a call at 303-386-5919. It is springtime. People start talking about changing kitchens and bathrooms. It's Mitch. Heads and shoulders above everybody. They COVID up. They'll come. They can talk to you. They can come to your home and be all masked up and everything. Or you can do things on the internet now and just take a look and see what they can do. Give Mitch a call. We talk about him all the time. Came out, grew up under Ceausescu. Give Mitch a call. 303-386-5919. 303-386-5919. Or visit theartofgranite.com. 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 303-696-1971. We're going to talk about the Republican Party and then the story of this Colorado lawmaker, this Republican who makes the buckwheat comment. And I really thought the story would take off. And it stopped, and everybody caught a break. But it is interesting to watch. It was not critiqued by the Republican Party. It was critiqued by the Democrats. And this guy got taken to the woodshed by Garnett, by Alec Garnett, the Speaker. And yesterday we talked about making these statements. And again, what will happen, I don't know. But he makes this statement, I read it to you, where I'm from in eastern Colorado, as a country boy, I've had people call me that term many times, buckwheat. I got a bridge in Brooklyn. There's a different connotation where I'm from. I guess I didn't have the insight to realize that it would be received in such a negative way. Shazam. Where I'm from, that particular term is used for a younger person, a tyke, a kid, a youngster. You don't use it in a way that's racial or discriminatory or insulting. I don't know if I buy into that. But what's interesting is that his own party, and I watch people say they put in requests to speak with Republican leadership and nobody called them back. If it's gone, it's gone. Do you think we'll see it again? Yeah, we'll see it again. But that's just what it is. He apologized from the podium and said he didn't directly refer to, and again, but they didn't refer to the comments that he made. And this is one of the quotes from Holstaff. He said, "I hope you all understand that I see all of you as my brothers and sisters, all created by God and all equal. You have my sincerest apologies." I don't see everybody as my brother and sister. I'm sorry. I mean, again, that's one of those, sounds good, looks good, sounds nice, the kind of thing that libs would say. And this guy's a stalwart Republican conservative. Let me ask it down deep inside your heart of hearts. Do you really see everybody as your brothers and sisters in the world? Because I don't. You know, I really don't. He makes the statement, "I hope all of you understand that I see all of you as my brothers and sisters." As soon as I hear that, I take the BS flag out of my pocket, throw it on the ground, and there's a foul. "We're all created by God, and we're all equal. You have my sincerest apologies." Do you think? I mean, I love people like that. And that usually comes out of the mouth of a liberal. That doesn't come out of the mouth of a conservative from Akron, Colorado. But I guess dodging a bullet, I guess you get out from under. I cracked at that. I said, come on. I mean, I, as an old guy doing radio for a long, long time, meeting lots of people, I don't see everybody as my equal. I really don't. I realize that's arrogant. I realize that, but it's just truthful. I'm sorry. I don't see it that way. Equal in terms of, I've always told the Bobby Heenan story, and then we'll break and come back and get your calls. I'm riding in the, we used to call them church vans, those great big transports. And they have like 93 seats in them. And doing the, where I'm working the ring, and Heenan, we're driving south on I-25, and everybody's in the back smoking dope and drinking, and Heenan's in the front. And he says, "You know what scares me the most about wrestling fans?" And I said, "What, Bob?" He said, "They can vote." I was like light went on. 303-696-1971. Phones are loading up. We'll come back. 82 will be the high today. It is 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Hugh Hewitt, Charlie Kirk, and Dennis Prager. Coming up after Peter Boyles on News Talk 710 KNUS.
15 minutes until 7. The guys are coming Friday morning, May the 7th, 2021. 82 the high. We go to Todd on line one. Todd, you're on a radio show. Good morning.
Morning, Peter.
Hey, man.
Hey, I wanted to just tell you that when I was a younger man back in the early 90s, I moved up into the mountains, a rural area. And, you know, growing up, we'd always called each other dude.
Dude.
And, yeah, dude. And got up there, and dude was not a friendly term.
What isn't? It's a, well, some places, enough, but, now it isn't, but one time that was a fight starter.
Right. Well, so up there the connotation was that you were a dude, like a dude ranch.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, you get out into some of these outlying areas, I think we have a tendency to think that, you know, everybody thinks just like we do and everything means the same thing.
I'm by far the smartest person in the world, but to believe that we called each other buckwheat when we were kids and it's a term of endearment is lost on me.
Well, I can see that perspective, but I can also see that.
But tell me, did you remember anybody calling you buckwheat when you were a kid?
Not regularly. But
no,
I
mean, not even. I mean, if they said it yesterday when we had we're talking with Casper Stockham about, you know, he's a limo driver and he's a U2, you know, you guy, what they call it, Uber driver. And I said, you know, hey, if you pulled up and got out to pick up a fare, and he said, okay, Buckwheat, let's go to the airport.
I think you would have to be careful about that.
Yes, I think that's a nice way to say it. You would have to be careful.
Well, but, you know, you, at that time you had Eddie Murphy and Buckwheat on TV.
That's not the Buckwheat. Buckwheat goes back to that guy's name was, I think his name was William Thomas or Bill Thomas.
He played Rat.
That's where it comes from. And Eddie Murphy's knocking that Buckwheat off. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, sure. So I don't know, but it is interesting because the Republican Party itself doesn't criticize. He is taken to the woodshed by the Speaker, Alec Garnett, and they bring him back, trot him back out, and he makes this apology. And let me legitimately ask you from the bottom of your heart. Is everybody in the world your brother and sister? Because they're not mine. I mean,
No. You treat them with honor and respect, and
you don't even have to do that.
In a certain sense, you say that they are.
But, yeah, I mean, I loved it. It was like to me, it was like the ultimate what a liberal would say.
Yeah.
And so no, he's
the apology.
The heat's off. You know, it's okay. I guess we drive on, but I think it's a really interesting snapshot to look at. And, you know, he's out from under it. I didn't realize that he's an appointment. He didn't win an election. I was reading it last night. He was appointed to represent the district from the Eastern Plains when a Republican representative by the name of Kimmy Lewis. And then he was elected outright last year. So at first he was appointed, and then he won his own election. So he comes into this really interesting. But, you know, and he'll get reelected. And, I mean, one of those places there, you know, it's like being Diana DeGette. She'll be the congresswoman from Denver till she doesn't want to be. I don't know. It is what it is.
Well, sometimes people see and think that it's a serious enough thing to do something about it. And sometimes it passes under the bridge.
Yeah, it was interesting. I really believe the way that the media is charged today that somebody would pick it up. And you know, it went up on, like, The Hill and a couple of other spots. But then it came back, and it didn't go anywhere. So in all intents and purposes, it's over.
Yeah.
We talked about it yesterday. Yeah.
And the question is, does he actually learn something, or is he just given lip service?
Got you again. I don't know. I'm not that smart.
But time will tell.
Indeed. Appreciate your time. Here's a response to an emailer who, you know, Chuck Bonner was coming in, and this guy said about blank, 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 blank. Anyhow, he said that Bonnewell says, I spend too much time critiquing the Republican Party. I want the party to win. You know, it's like we could sit here and we could talk about the what a lousy team the Tampa Bay football team is, or we can talk about what a great team the Denver Broncos is. No, you spend your time, and you want the Broncos to win, so let's just not, I mean, I'm just lost in that thought process, but you don't spend your time. You know, Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. We can run them down. That's like running down the Democrat Party. They won the Super Bowl. Or we can critique the Denver Broncos and want them to be a better team and to win. All right, we go to Max in Loveland. Love your name. Max, you're on the radio show. Good morning.
Hey, Peter.
Man.
So I grew up in this area, and buckwheat was a pretty common term that people would call young men that didn't know what the heck they were doing. They would call them buckwheat. It was never a racial thing.
First time I heard that, I mean, other than being it being said, I didn't grow up.
Well,
there,
no,
so
I mean, when that guy from the said that the Eastern Plains, that was a common terminology.
Mm-hmm.
It was a common terminology out here.
You know,
and I don't know. I've been here for like 60 years, it was just a normal conversation.
Do you really think in this day and age, and again with respect, to hang buckwheat on somebody like yesterday with Casper, who's a black man, you know, get out
of it. Well, did the guy that was doing it, did he call a black man buckwheat?
It's hard
to
know.
Or did he call somebody in the audience buckwheat?
It's hard to
know. That's completely different.
That's really hard. It's hard to understand. I've watched it and listened to it, and they did cut the feed off, which I think is really interesting as well. But was he calling a colleague buckwheat during the debate? And that seems to be a contention point that, there, you know, he's got, as they all do, there are more fair share of enemies. But it isn't clear who he was directing the remarks to. And he,
could it be that that's why it's not blowing up, because he called the white guy buckwheat?
Well, maybe, because he uses the term, he said it's a term of endearment, which, you know, I out of hand reject that, but... But it's
well, you have a different paradigm because you grew
sure,
up
no,
in
of course.
Pittsburgh.
No, I agree.
And so the people that grew
well,
out
but
up
I grew
in
up...
this country didn't consider it like a derogatory term. Well, I guess it was somewhat derogatory in the sense that it was like a young man that probably didn't know what he was doing. That's basically what the terminology out here was.
Well, everybody, I think, knows who buckwheat was. And so this other guy, I think it's Sullivan, shouts that his remarks provoked this break in their business. And then Leslie Herod, who is black, goes to the podium to confront him. And those videos, those remarks were across social media yesterday. And
well, you realize that there was like zero black people in the West in 1950 or 1970.
Yeah, well, I understand what you're saying. But here it is.
So I don't think that the paradigm out here has never been that it was a black person.
You know, that's hard for me to swallow that you don't know that. And I'm not talking that about you. I'm saying that he didn't know that. And he said, when he says, hold on, buckwheat. Now, who is it aimed at? Could you say, hold on, and then fill in another word and say that really wasn't aimed at you? I don't know. I really don't know. And again, it's over. It's over and done with. I thought it was an interesting moment in time.
Yeah, but I mean, there are different paradigms for different words in different parts of the country.
I don't think anymore, not in 2020. But again, I'll grant that.
Well, how old is the guy? He's like 60, isn't he?
I
have no idea.
No, I don't know. He looks like a pretty big guy, yeah. All right, hang on. Thank you, man. Thank
All
you.
Right.
All right, we go to Tammy. Tammy, you're on a radio show. Good morning.
Morning, Peter.
Hey.
I just wanted to throw this out there. Back after the January 6th thing, and they were impeaching Donald Trump again, multiple black Congress people got up at the podium and referred to all of us that were at the Capitol as white supremacists.
You know
I find that very offensive.
But you have to be,
and yet,
again,
no
cautious.
Apologies.
Cautious
Nobody
again.
Rushed the podium. All
Listen
of them,
to Tammy, please.
Republicans just sat there and
So tell me again, one doesn't make the other right.
I'm not saying that.
Well,
I'm just
are.
Saying the hypocrisy is off the charts. I find that extremely offensive.
But again, once again, but Tammy,
would
Tammy,
stand
with
up
Tammy,
there and refer to us okay. as white supremacists.
Tammy, with respect, one doesn't make two right. Two doesn't make three right. What he
I'm
did.
Saying that.
No, so listen to me again. The fallout is it's over. And the guys just came in, we're going to talk about the Republican Party. No one in the Republican Party said anything, and maybe that was the smart move. On the other hand, he gets taken, as they say, to the woodshed by Alec Garnett. But it's not clear, I've watched this thing like probably too many times, it's not clear who he's talking to. And apparently he's talking to Sullivan, but I don't even know that.
Well, there's certainly been no apologies from anybody else.
But again, you're taking another event and applying it to this event, which is that's what you know. It's not a logical argument, but it's okay.
So you don't think that a black person,
ma'am,
calling,
listen to me one more time. You want to talk about what this man said, buckwheat, or you want to talk about that? But we can't. They're not comparable. We got a break. The guys are here. It is 5 minutes before the hour. One's wearing sunglasses. The other wasn't even how to act. 82 will be the high today, 70 tomorrow, Mother's Day weekend. Coming back, Chuck Bonneville, Randy Corbin. Let's see what we can do to fix the Republican Party and move it on. Right now, 710 KNUS.